Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. With me, the Grand Poobah, Mr. Jeff Byers. How we doing, Jeff?
That's right. Not too bad. Looking forward to another great weekend of football. And my gosh, am I enjoying the splendid weather here in the Valley of Happiness we've had over the past week.
It's everything has been fantastic. Why couldn't we have home games during this stretch of weather, Jeff?
Amen. That is a very, very good question.
As the Grand Poobah, I thought you would have control over that.
You know, you would think they would give me a little more control of that. Sadly, it is not the case.
Oh, well. Anyway, all right, let's get started. First with this, Jeff, I'll tell you what. If you folks, if you're still looking for accommodations in State College for either the big Ohio State game, the following week, the whiteout game with Washington, got the answer for you. It is gopsurv.com. This is where they have the RV lot with the RVs already there. You don't need an RV. You just take your car there. The RV is there ready and set up and stocked for you. It's a fantastic way to spend the weekend. They've got games there, fires, pits, the pavilion with the great TV. You spend the whole weekend there, Friday through Sunday. So in essence, it's a weekend of tailgating, just interrupted for a football game. And I think maybe the best part is they have a shuttle that will take you back and forth to the game. So you don't have to worry about parking, traffic, all of that hassle taken care of for you. If you want more information, just go to gopsurv.com or give my buddy Mark a call at 800-519-8467. It's a great time. Trust me on that one. All right, Jeff, let's get started here. I want to start with this interesting press conference with James Franklin this week. As I think most of our listeners know, a couple Penn State players got themselves in trouble, allegedly sexual nature, rape, and they were charged this week. I don't want to get into that, the actual crime and what's alleged to have happened, but about Penn State's response and how they handle it. And this is what they did for the press conference. Prior to James Franklin coming out to meet the media, a rep from the athletic department comes out and said, hey, look, we put a statement out last night. That's all we're going to say about it. Don't ask about it. Well, what happens? The very first question James Franklin is asked about it. And I thought it was a legitimate question about when he knew things and kind of on the timeline nature of it. James Franklin just walked away from the mic. The rep comes back out, reiterates, we're not going to talk about that. Interested to hear your response to how they handled it, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think it was a great look for James Franklin or for Penn State. And it's not that I think you asked the question knowing you're not going to get any kind of detailed answer, but it's a question that needs to be asked. And I am just never a fan, whether it's a political press conference, a sports press conference, any kind of press conference, that, hey, you can ask anything but this. Well, no, they're reporters. That they can ask any doggone question they want. Now, you, as the person answering the question, can say, hey, I'm not answering that. Next question. And you can ask again, and hey, I'm not answering that. That's fine. But you don't get to dictate, and I think they learned that, that what a reporter can or can't ask. So I thought that was a bad look. And I just don't know why James Franklin can't, again, you can answer without answering, which is, listen, I'm not going to get into any details of this because it's an ongoing court case. And I don't think, it's my place to influence in any way, anything having to do with this. We are, you know, those two players are no longer part of our program, part of our university, and we're focused on Wisconsin. And I think you can answer any question that is asked regarding those two or the court case. that way. But I just don't know why you don't go ahead and answer it rather than go through the big spectacle of stepping away from the mic and having the spokesman. I mean, it makes, to me, it makes James Franklin look like he's unable to answer questions about his program. And again, it's a pretty easy answer because it is a pending court case that, hey, I'm not saying anything about it because it's not my role to at this time. I don't know. I think I think it was a worse look than it needed to be for James Franklin and for the university.
I'm in agreement, Jeff. And this is a program, let's face it, we can't totally get away from what happened a dozen years ago. So there will be a spotlight on Penn State for any kind of occurrence like this. And James Franklin is the face of the program. Now, I would be careful. I'm sure lawyers are around saying, hey, we can't say much. Fine. Have a lawyer review what James Franklin is going to say. But as the face of the program, just have him say, look, you know, we obviously, any kind of issue comes up like this, it's a legal process. We turn it over as we have policies, we follow them. You don't say anything that could get you in more trouble. You have, you know, the lawyers review the statement, but it's James Franklin who says it. And I think your point, Jeff, about it turning into a spectacle, you know, this morning, there was an article, the New York Post, which, you know, is pretty much a national news outlet, had an article about this. Why? Because of James Franklin's actions. It wasn't about the players. It was about James Franklin refusing to answer questions. And as you put it, he doesn't have to answer the question. He always has the out. It's a legal matter, so I can't comment. But have something scripted. Look, we follow the rules. We make sure we follow the policy. That's important at Penn State. And you come out looking fine.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's a one or two sentence answer without saying anything and you move on. And I'm surprised that that isn't the way they handled it. I think it just would have been a better overall look. But
well, Jeff, the other part to it, and you brought this up too, is this is the media. Okay. Yes, they're there because you're the football coach, but they have the right to ask these questions. And I think even the tone of the statement, like, don't you dare ask any of those questions, that comes off wrong. And the university kind of has a reputation for it. You know, it's like, don't you dare ask about injuries. Don't you dare, you know, they cut you off. They don't allow the questions. When I think even if you're not going to give a full answer, you could give something and respond to why you're not answering, and it would give so much better impression. And like I said, the other part of this is James Franklin is the program, and it's a very weak look when a question happens and he just walks away, you know. And I'm sure he probably thinks, and the athletic department thinks, look, we showed them, didn't we? We're really, when we say don't ask, you better not ask. But that doesn't come out looking good for the university.
No, and I just think if you think of you know, a company that's facing a problem, or in politics, if you have a president or a governor and you start a press conference with, hey, we put out a statement on this latest scandal, we're letting that stand. You can't ask about that, but you can ask anything else. And then a reporter asks a question, and you step back and you let your spokesperson. I mean, like, it's just not what leaders do. You just, again, it is fine to just say it's a pending legal matter. I really can't comment on it. I'm not going to comment on it. You can just leave it there at two sentences. You don't say anything, but you are the one responding. I just think that, to me, it's a much better look. But again, that's just my perspective.
Well, the other part of this is, James Franklin can be so good with the media. He's a really smart guy, comes across really well. And I think he could have even, you know, if he's coming across saying, look, guys, it's obviously a very sensitive matter. We have very little information, so there's nothing really I can share with you, both legally and in reality. There's not much I know. It's a legal matter. It's not a matter for a football coach. So I'm only telling you what I can, and I can't. You could ask these questions, but I'm not going to be able to give you any kind of good answer. And when it's in the legal system, let's face it, we are trained, and it's the same way for anybody across the country. You can't get involved to say much more than that. Yeah. And you come across as, hey, look, I'm going to tell you as much as I can, and I'm being forthright. It gives the impression that you're not being forthright. You're hiding, and personally, that James Franklin is hiding behind his spokespeople. I'd be curious as to who made that decision that's how they handle it. Is it James saying, look, if anyone asks the question, I'm just going to walk away? Or is someone advising him and saying, hey, James, the questions will probably come up. If it does, just walk away. Yeah. Who do you think decided that?
That's a very good question. My gut feeling is that was more in the communications department. And again, I don't think it was that James Franklin is like, hey, let me go out and tell the story and they're restraining him. But again, I just don't understand why you wouldn't just have him issue the two sentence statement that, hey, it's a pending legal matter. I'm not going to comment on it. Boom. What about this, James? It's a pending legal matter. I'm not going to comment on it. I think that's fine. I don't think you need to give anything more than that. But I think, yeah, as the head coach of the program, it's okay to make a two or three sentence statement without saying anything, but have your voice being the one saying whatever it is you're going to say.
Exactly. I'm in agreement. And what's fascinating to me is you and I here are discussing it. We're not in that position, but I think it's so easy to do. It's not difficult. And yet they choose to go this other route. So anyway, Jeff, enough on that. When we come back for quarter number two, I have a crazy idea. How about if we talk about actual football?
Ooh, that's just a crazy enough idea that it may work, Jim.
It just might. All right, we'll do that when we come back for quarter number two. So stay tuned. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. We are going to get to actual football here, Jeff. How about it? I want to start with this. Again, I guess it's a little bit of an off-the-field topic, but the announcement came out. How about it? Ohio State game's going to be at noon.
Jim, I can't believe it. I was absolutely stunned. Who saw that coming? Out of nowhere, they announced that it's going to be a noon kickoff. Listen, it's a bummer. We kind of knew it was coming. But it is a bummer. You want a game like that to at least be a late afternoon start to give fans a little more time to get revved up for it. But that being said, it's going to be a fun atmosphere. It's going to be a big game no matter when you play it. And people will be there and fired up for it regardless. So, you know, let's get it on. Noon it is.
Well, you know, this has been the conversation now for a couple of years with Fox taking over, and they're going to take the big games and they're going to play them at noon. Now, I'm on record as saying, you know what? They have for years accommodated other teams, Ohio State and Michigan, especially when, you know, ESPN was handling it and they would put most of their big games at night. Ohio State and Michigan, they were able to say, nope. We play at noon. Well, we'd rather put it at night. Doesn't matter. Don't you know who we are? We're Ohio State and Michigan. We get whatever we want. Has not Penn State earned that right to be able to say, hey, look, the whiteout is one of the great spectacles in college football. You take the biggest game possible. You put it at night. That's what makes it what it is. Shouldn't Penn State have earned that right with the Big Ten?
Yes, I mean, I think they should have, but no, because nobody's earned that right outside of Michigan and Ohio State. And I really think that's just the way the conference looks at it. And listen, at the end of the day, I mean, yes, I much prefer, and I do think it's a much better spectacle. I think it's a much better product, even for consumers, if it's at least a late afternoon game, if not a night game. But again, at the end of the day, whenever they play it, it's a big game, and you just go out and take care of business if you're Penn State.
All right. And where I will give credit to is somebody within the athletic department who said, look, I understand we can only have one whiteout a year. How about we do this? Why don't we call it a helmet stripe game, and we'll have just this little thin blue stripe along the 50-yard line, and Everybody else wears white, but we won't call it a whiteout. What do you think? I think whoever came up with that idea was a genius.
Yeah, and my understanding, Jim, is you're still allowed to bring what I would like to call, whiteout energy is the term I would use. You're allowed to bring that even for a noon kickoff. When it's the Buckeyes that are calling.
Did you come up with that yourself, Jeff, that whiteout energy?
It just came to me, Jim. I don't know where. I just pulled it out of thin air. What do you think about that? Whiteout energy.
Oh, I really like that pause there, too. Boy, that's why you are the grand poobah, Jeff. Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
For coming up with ideas like that. Shifting a little bit, like I thought the conference should accommodate, a whiteout at night. I thought they should accommodate that. Obviously not. But that led to the conversation of what game should be the whiteout. And, you know, a lot of folks would say Ohio State's the biggest game of the year. Don't care what time of day it is. That should be the whiteout. What do you think?
So I really think, I don't know if I'm in the minority here or not, but I just, to me, the whiteout, what makes that the spectacle, it's the big game, but it really is the lights coming off of the white shirts or jackets or sweatshirts, whatever it is, the white in the stadium. Like, that is what the impact is. So to me, you're trying to get at least a late afternoon game where later in the fall it's going to be dark for at least half of the game. And more ideally, yeah, you want it to be a night game. So I'm okay with the way they handled it. It needs to be a game where the lights are on for at least a significant portion of the game so that you get that effect of the whiteout. And I also think you need to create that true whiteout environment. You need a little extra tailgating time before kickoff. So again, at the very least, I think you want it to be a 3:30 or 4 o'clock kickoff. And again, certainly ideally you want it to be a night game kick.
Well, I'm with you. For those who say, we need that energy most for Ohio State. Well, if you can't do it at night, guess what? The fan base is going to be up for Ohio State, Jeff, no matter if they played it at 9 a.m. in the parking lot. they would have, the fan base would be up for it. And like I said, I've already given credit to whoever came up with the helmet stripe idea. So I'm very much okay, because I'm with you that it should be at night best, has the most effect.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought they would have done it with Illinois, because a night game. I also like that it was in September when the weather's still nice. It's a little more conducive, you know, to wearing white. And I think that it would be interesting now with the new TV contract, where Fox does their biggest game at noon, CBS is late afternoon, and NBC is at night. I would think they would also, NBC would try to associate with the whiteout, like make it ours, where NBC owns the whiteout, and there would be that association and even pressure, and NBC trying to get as good a game as they can with Penn State and make that at night.
Yeah, I would be curious to know what all the discussions were that went into the decision on. And by the way, I'm okay with the Washington game being the whiteout game. It makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways, too. And again, before the season, you obviously didn't know what kind of a year either Illinois or Washington were going to have. You had a pretty good idea of the kind of year that Ohio State was going to have. But a lot of the other teams, it's kind of a coin flip at the start of the year. I would be interested, Jim, to know, and I'm doubting we'd ever find out, but like, what kind of calls are made with the networks and with all of the different folks involved here before they settle on, okay, this will be our whiteout game. That would be interesting to know, kind of all of the thought processes that go into that and who all the university is checking with before they ultimately make the final decision there.
Well, I think the avenue for the university is to go to the Big Ten itself. And we know, again, I always use that example of Michigan, Ohio State as an example where it wasn't the network that ruled it. It was those schools going to the conference and the conference saying, we agree, we stipulate that has to be. And, you know, I think they should have that, but I don't think it needs to be so stringent that it's got to be, you know, Ohio State every year, or they were alternating Ohio State and Michigan every year. But I just feel like NBC's input, because they're doing it at night.
Yep.
If NBC would say, look, Penn State, by doing this, we will tell you, if you do the whiteout in a game we're covering, oh my goodness, are we going to go overboard in our coverage of it? The pregame stuff, the celebration, everything whiteout. And I don't think that is NBC bending or accommodating the university. I would think the network would want to do that. I would think they would want to be known as the network of the whiteout.
No, I think that's I hadn't really thought about it in those terms, but I think that's a pretty valid point. I will say, just with the way the season has played out now, I do really like the fact that Washington is that whiteout game, because regardless of how the Ohio State game goes, either Penn State is going to be coming off, well, what would hopefully be its first loss of the season, presuming they take care of business against Wisconsin here, or they'll be riding their highest of highs. Either way, I think the emotional lift you get from that whiteout crowd will be significant for the week after Ohio State, in maybe preventing a hangover one way or the other from that Ohio State matchup.
Now, that's a good point, and I hadn't thought about it that way. I had thought, you know, in the last couple of years where there's been, help me here, it was Iowa and Minnesota for yeah. whiteouts the last couple of years. What the whiteout has the ability to do is take a game that it's always an event with a home game, conference game, but it took those games where Penn State was a solid favorite in both those games, but it took those games and really elevated the energy and the experience. And I don't know if you remember, I think it was for both of the games, we ended up with some really nice weather. So it made tailgating all the better. But it took those games, elevated them to be something more than just a routine game. Meanwhile, if you're playing Ohio State or Michigan earlier in the day, again, as I put it earlier, doesn't matter what time of day you're playing Ohio State, you're going to have a crowd that's going to be going crazy.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I'm just thinking that through a little more. Yes, I agreed on all of it. Was it Auburn a couple of years ago? Was that the – not? I might be getting myself mixed up here, but regardless, the – yeah, I agree. I think you want that kind of the build up to the whiteout game in terms of the tailgating component. And listen, the way this works out, I think no matter how anything plays out, if you're a coach of a team or you look at the program, you're trying to put the positive spin on it. And again, to me, the energy is going to be there, that whiteout energy that I joked about earlier. It actually is going to be there no matter when you play Ohio State. And I do think having it there that week after Ohio State could end up paying some significant dividends here for Penn State, because we've seen some teams coming off of big wins that the following week, it has not gone quite the way the fans were expecting or hoping.
All right, Jeff, that is it for quarter number two. When we come back, I got some actual Penn State football questions for you. We'll do that when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Jeff. And as promised, we're going to start talking Penn State football, Jeff. Let me start with this. Penn State, ranked number 3, right? Third yep. best team in the country, right?
Yep.
Are they? And I'm going to rephrase that question. It's going to be the same question, but asked a different way. How many teams are there in the country who, if Penn State played them on a neutral field, the other team would be favored?
So I look at it more. That's a good question. And off the top of my head, I'm thinking it's probably about 5. But there's a couple of things here, Jim, because I'm just fascinated by Penn State's fans' perspective that this program is, and this year's team in particular, is not what it's being made out to be. And we'll see. Again, you got to let the entire season play out. No question, Penn State has not faced a terribly challenging schedule to date. I do think USC is better than that record would indicate. I think when you play teams matters. I mean, USC beat LSU. LSU now looks great. Do I think if those two teams met now that it would have the same result? I don't. So it does matter when you play. Things play out differently as the season goes along. Some teams play better, gain confidence. Some teams play worse, lose confidence. Injuries factor into it, all of those things. So, you know, I'm always a little amused when you get to the end of the season and it's like, well, how did this team lose to that team? Well, at that stage of the season, those teams weren't what they are in November, good, bad, or indifferent. So Penn State has taken care of its business to this point. I do think this is as physical of a line, both offensive and defensive, as Penn State has had under James Franklin. I do think it is a really good running game. I think they have great running backs. I think Drew Aller has taken another step and is a really good quarterback. All of those things. I think the linebackers have developed tremendously. I think it's a really good secondary, and I think the receiving core continues to improve. And there's enough good signs there to believe that they could do some good things. They seem to have found themselves with the kicking game and all of that. So there's that. Then the other part of it is I had a few folks that reached out to me after the Alabama-Georgia game, and it's like, man, that's big-time football. Like, Penn State's not up to that level. Well, then I'm watching Alabama-Vanderbilt, and I'm thinking, I think Penn State could at least hang with Alabama at the very least. And therefore you would think, since Alabama beat Georgia, Penn State would be capable of hanging with Georgia. Now, that was in the moment. Again, to me, you got to let this thing play out, because I really thought up until last week, Texas was by far the most impressive, consistently impressive team in the country. And then they get pretty well waxed by a Georgia team that lost to a two-loss Alabama team. So, listen, do I think that Penn State, with any team out there, would have a chance going in? Yeah, I don't think there's a team out there, Ohio State included, and I still think Ohio State is the best team, the most talented team in the country. But, yeah, do I think on a given day or given days Penn State is capable of going out and winning that game? Yeah, I do. I also think there's probably at least 10 and maybe as many as 20-plus teams that, yeah, on a given day, Penn State could lose to. They lose the turnover battle, they're going to be in some trouble. So that's the fun of college football in general. And to me this year, even more so, is the old, any given Saturday. I think we're really seeing it play out this year, and I don't think there's any team that's just so heads and shoulders above. Again, I think Ohio State's the best team. They're clearly not heads and shoulders above everybody because they lost to Oregon. So you can't sit here and say that they are heads and shoulders above everybody. They already have a loss, albeit, again, a little bit of controversy at the end on the road and all of that, into a very good program as well. But I think Penn State is rightfully right there in the discussion, but I think we're going to get a much better indication after these next couple of weeks. I think this is a big test because of everything involved, not necessarily the caliber of opponent that Wisconsin provides, but because of the atmosphere there, because of the coming off the off week and Ohio State sitting there the next week, the whole trap game feel and all of that. I do think this is a significant step for this team to take. And then, again, against Ohio State, we're going to see whether or not they can measure up against certainly one of the best teams, at the very least, in the country.
Now, a lot to unpack with what you answered there, Jeff, which you answered a lot, except for my question.
Yep.
So I will answer it since you chose not to.
Jim, you know, I come from a middle-class family. Did I mention that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, is that the grand poobah getting a little political on me? Now I get off to another question.
Oh, boy.
What percentage of our audience do you think will understand that reference?
Oh, boy, that is a good question. I am going to say, I think we've got a pretty smart audience and that they're paying attention. I'm going to say it's about 80%.
Ooh, you respect our audience more than I do. But for those of you who don't understand, go look it up. All right. Now, my original question was, which teams would Penn State be an underdog against on a neutral field? Which, by the way, I think that neutral field is very pertinent. I think if Oregon played Ohio State again on a neutral field, I think Ohio State wins, and I think they would be favored, Jeff.
Yeah. I would have five teams, I think, Jim, to directly answer your question.
I care to name them?
Yeah. So Ohio State and Oregon, I think, from the Big Ten. I think Georgia. I think Texas would still be favored over Penn State again on a neutral field. And then, oh my gosh, what was the – I did have a fifth team there.
Southeast Conference team?
Yes.
Alabama, no, LSU, Texas A&M.
You know, maybe it is to just four. I think everybody else, it would be there's a couple of those teams that I could see it going either way, being a toss-up game. Man, I thought I had a fifth team. But, as you're naming them there, I don't know that there is another team that definitively, as we sit here right now, that Penn State would be an underdog against. Again, a couple of them maybe 1 point either way, I could argue. Tennessee, you know, certainly being one of them.
Jeff, I'll tell you what, you and I had exactly the same four teams. And I think in prior years, you talked about Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia were head and shoulders above everybody else. The teams, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Georgia, were the teams I wrote down as I thought would definitely be favored over Penn State. The teams that I would find interesting, like Alabama, is such an interesting team because they do have the two losses, but they have the win against Georgia. They have a lot of talent there. I'd actually think that would be one of those really close calls on that, a point or two either way.
I think you're right there. I think same thing with Tennessee. Clemson was actually the other team that I was thinking of when I just off the top of my head. I think the odds makers would, and again, I don't think it would be like a point, but I think Clemson, Tennessee, Alabama, there's probably a handful of other teams. LSU would be interesting to see what they would do on a neutral field with that. Texas A&M with the way they're playing now. But, I don't think there's probably those four teams. I think they definitively – I'd be shocked if Penn State wasn't an underdog in a neutral field if they had that lined up. There's not another team there where it's like, to me, clear cut that Penn State would be an underdog. And again, that can change those perceptions on a weekly basis. We'll see what happens this weekend. We'll see what happens for sure the following weekend and maybe reassess at that time.
I wrote down, Alabama question mark, because I was curious. And I think that would be a game that might just be a couple points either way at most. But I put down another team because I'm glad you mentioned Clemson in there, because I do think Clemson has now established themselves. Two teams, though, I'm actually going to give you two of them, Miami and Indiana.
Yeah, I think Penn State would be favored in both of those games on a neutral field. I'm really curious to see, how both of those teams finish up the season. I think the books and a lot of the experts are still doubting that Miami is really one of the top contenders. I think it's a very good program. I think it's a playoff worthy type of team this year, but I don't think, and we'll play the games and we'll find out. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I don't think Miami is like one of the top six, and I don't think they're one of the top eight teams in the country right now. I'll tell you the other program that I actually would think more so, Jim, and I'll give you two actually, that I think it would be interesting on a neutral field. Iowa State is playing really good football. Like they are kind of the epitome of a team that doesn't beat itself. When you talk about a team that is just fundamentally solid and playing consistently good football, on a neutral field, I would be really curious to see what the odds makers would do there. And BYU is another team that, on a neutral field with the betting money coming in, my guess is with BYU, Penn State would be favored. Iowa State, to me, feels like a real toss-up on a neutral field from an odds makers standpoint. I know Penn State has the brand name, probably over both of those teams, and money would likely come in on that Nittany Lions side. But I'd be curious to see how that would play out if that game occurred on a neutral field.
Those are some interesting names, and it kind of leads to this when you mention Iowa State and BYU, both undefeated in the Big 12. And not going to play each other in the regular season.
Yeah.
What happens if they both go undefeated, play in the conference championship? Does the loser with one loss still make it to the playoffs?
It is a really good question, Jim. And I there are so many fascinating potential scenarios that can still play out here in this season. You know, Army, Navy, if you know, maybe getting ahead of ourselves, but if both those teams beat Notre Dame.
Well, let's hold, because I want to ask you one more thing about Army, Navy. We'll do that when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. My plan is to talk about the Penn State-Wisconsin game, Jeff, but we have a carryover from last segment. You had to bring up Army-Navy, and it's real interesting, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, how it would play out. Both Army and Navy get to play Notre Dame, and if either one wins, it would really legitimize the team and their schedule, and it would just make the rest of the country celebrate with Notre Dame getting a second loss. But I don't know. Again, Army and Navy are now in the same conference. If they both go undefeated, they would play in the conference championship game against each other. And then guess what? The following week, after the playoffs are established, they would play each other in the traditional Army-Navy game.
Yeah, which it'll be interesting to see if that scenario, and I'm always rooting for as much chaos as possible, so long as it doesn't hurt Penn State. But it would be fascinating to see how they would handle that and what the implications would be with both of those contests then, because they both could potentially have playoff implications. Certainly if they're both undefeated, they will have implications, at least in terms of the playoffs. And there are so many things that can still play out. And to answer your question at the end of the last segment on, you know, if Iowa State and BYU both are undefeated, go to the Big 12 championship, and let's say it's a great game and everybody agrees, man, those two just really look like great teams, and you know, it's a 28-27 win one way or the other. I don't think definitively I would sit here and tell you that the loser would automatically be in. I think, again, you got to see how everything plays out. Like, what does an Alabama look like down the stretch? Alabama still has the name brand, and if they get on a roll here and they look impressive down the stretch, a two-loss Alabama, I think, is likely getting in over a one-loss BYU or a one-loss Iowa State. But you can't take it. What else is happening in the SEC? What else is happening in the Big Ten? How does the ACC play out? I think that's still going to be a fascinating watch. So there's just so many things that – and we've already seen so many completely – wildly unexpected things. I mean, even earlier this week, I know it's not making much of a ripple, but we had one of the undefeateds go down in the Wednesday night game where winless Kennesaw State takes out undefeated Liberty. Now, Liberty wasn't going to be involved in the playoffs. I get that. But for crying out loud, you're at the midway point of the season and you have an undefeated team losing to a winless team. Kennesaw State was 0-6 going into that. Liberty was 5-0. Again, once Vanderbilt beat Alabama, you knew that anything could happen this season. But, wow. So, yeah, we think we have an idea of, I think this is going to play out this way or that way. Let's wait and see how it actually plays out. I'm really intrigued by this Oregon-Illinois game coming up here Saturday. I think that's going to be a game worth watching. Let's see exactly where Illinois is right now, and let's see how Oregon handles kind of all of the fame and the accolades that's coming its way right now.
Well, first of all, Jeff, come on, we got to speculate. It's no fun to just say, wait till it happens, all right? That's what we're here to do.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to do my – here's my speculation. I'm glad you brought up Illinois, Oregon. Do you know if Illinois could upset Oregon and everything else pretty much falls in, you know, Ohio State beats Indiana, beats Penn State, you could have five Big Ten teams with one loss. Would yep. that not be or a heck of a tiebreaker?
Yep. And let the chaos reign, Jim, let the chaos reign. I would love it.
So would I. It would be fantastic. All right. Let's talk about this Penn State Wisconsin game, because I've been doing, you know, making those assumptions that Penn State would go into Ohio State with no losses, but they have, there's at least a double whammy going on here. It's Penn State going on the road. It's Penn State after a bye, and it's Penn State with kind of the trap game before playing Ohio State. So I'm not good at math. That was actually three things, Jeff.
And I'd actually add a fourth, because I think it becomes that much more of an obstacle with it being a night game at Camp Randall Stadium as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of reason there to be concerned. And yet, I got to tell you, Jim, at the end of the day, I'm not that concerned. And there's a few reasons that I'm not that concerned. One is I really do think this is a mature Penn State team that has a real understanding of the objective here and the ability to stay on task and realize the importance of taking care of business week in and week out. And I think this Wisconsin game, they recognize that this is a potential stumbling block, and all of the things that we've been talking about all season can quickly go out the window, or at least the pressure can be ramped up significantly if you stub your toe here against Wisconsin. I also – that two other things here. I just don't think Wisconsin is that good. I know that they're riding a three-game win streak, but it's against three of the teams that are starting to really struggle in the conference this season. And – when you look at the losses here that Wisconsin has, getting blown out by USC, I just don't think this is a really good Wisconsin team. Now, I think they're going to fire, you know, with all of their cylinders. I mean, I do think this will be Wisconsin's best effort and probably best game of the season. And I think it'll be a little closer than maybe on paper I would think it is because of that. But I also, Jim, I just, and I've been saying it all year, I truly believe Penn State now has two elite coordinators. And I think we've seen it play out. They've made the adjustments in games. They've put their players in positions to go make plays. And fortunately, Penn State has the players that can go make plays. I just have a ton of faith in Andy Kotelnicki and in Tom Allen and their ability to make adjustments as the game goes along, figure it out, and get this team to where it needs to be. So while there are all kinds of red flags with this game, at the end of the day, I really think Penn State, much like the game at USC, much maybe even like against Bowling Green, I could see them not on fire right out of the gate. But I have a hard time seeing how over four quarters of football Penn State doesn't ultimately prevail.
I've had a tendency, Jeff, when making my picks on these games, end my pick by saying, they're just playing the better team. And that's what I feel about Penn State in this game. But I'll also add this. This year's team feels like they could beat you in more different ways. And I thought the USC game was a great example of, until that point, they've been a run-heavy team, kind of control game, like the Illinois game where they win 21-7. Doesn't sound that impressive, but they were totally in control of that game. And here we had USC where they fall behind So to me, they showed a couple things: that ability to come back, the ability to put the ball in the hands of their quarterback and say, hey, you got to win this game for us. And then they came up clutch in the end where, you know, the fourth down passes. Drew Aller and the offense looked as comfortable as they could possibly be. They didn't act like their season was on the line with those last couple drives.
No, and I think too, Jim, and again, I'm going to stay on my Kotelniki theme here, but I think 2 weeks to get ready. I think you're going to see a lot off of what Tyler Warren did. I think you're going to see him used more often as a decoy in this game. And that's not to say they're not going to go to Tyler Warren plenty, but I think you're also going to have, you know, that Wisconsin is game planning to try to stop Tyler Warren, or at least slow him down and figure out some different ways to, you know, reduce his impact. I think Andy Kotelniki knows that that's coming. And I think with the rest of that tight end room and with the rest of this offense, I think they're going to do some things off of Tyler Warren. And again, I'm not saying they're not going to use Tyler Warren plenty too, but I think you're going to see like some pump fakes to Warren and then airing it out, or, you know, a fake handoff to Warren and then you pitch it outside to Singleton. Something along those lines a few times over the course of the game where Tyler Warren and his superstar ability is going to help open some things up that Andy Kotelniki and Drew Aller will be able to take advantage of against Wisconsin. And so, yes, everything you said, but I think with 2 weeks to get ready, we're going to see some additional wrinkles to this offense and some you know, new things to get on film for Ohio State, but to also take care of business out at Camp Randall Stadium here Saturday night.
You make a good point about Tyler Warren, and I think it's an example, Jeff, that there are more ways for this offense to beat you. So if you try to take away one thing, you're going to give up the other. It looked like USC wasn't going to let the running game crush them. Guess what? You know, Drew Aller throws for 400 yards or so. And Tyler Warren specifically, and you and I talked about this, I mean, they targeted him 20 times. Yeah. At what point does USC says, hey, wait a minute, we got to look for number 44 and not let him beat us? But you can't do that without sacrificing something else. And the other part to this is I think the wide receivers, enough different ones have shown something now that they're not a complete loss there at wide receiver. All right, I've only left you a minute, Jeff. I need a prediction and a bold prediction.
Yeah, I think Penn State ultimately takes care of business here, and I think they pull away and win fairly comfortably late. I have it 31-16, the Nittany Lions over the Badgers. And my bold prediction is I'm going to say there are two touchdown catches by tight ends not named Tyler Warren on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness, are you bold? Oh, my goodness. That is like the boldest of the bold, Jeff. I really appreciate this. Here, I'm already on record. My pick for the score, you'll appreciate this. You had 31-16. I had 31-17. Great minds thinking alike, Jeff.
I'm telling you, it's scary.
All right. That's going to be the final word. Saturday night, Penn State in Madison against the Badgers. Hope you all enjoy the game. Hope you enjoy our show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.